thanks for joining us for the Changing the Industry podcast, where we try to effectuate change for the better, one conversation at a time. Part of that change is providing help for those that need it. This is why we've partnered with the Institute for Automotive Business Excellence. Whether it's help with sales, operations, or just getting your numbers in order, these folks are some of the very best in the industry. And for our listeners, they'll sit down with you and go over your strengths, your weaknesses, and the opportunities that are in front of you. They'll create a customized plan for how to move forward absolutely free. That's right, free. And if your plan includes one-on-one coaching, they can also help you with that. There's no hard sales pitch, no obligation, just honest help from honest people. So if that's something that you think could benefit you, make sure you click on the link in the show notes. And now, on to the show.
And bitches and moans and complains and whines and fusses about it. I know, right? And so I decided I would just like not tell him. Turns out he bitches and moans and whines and complains. Now, if I told him it was you, he'd be happy about it. It's just the point that like he's going to bitch and moan and complain no matter what I do. So
yeah. I get it. I understand.
Do you really understand? I mean,
well, probably not at the level you do, but yeah, I get it.
I think we should let you go hang out with him for a while.
He made me walk through the expo twice.
Oh, man.
Once last night and once today. When you're walking, I try to hide behind him.
Yeah.
And you're walking through the expo, everybody's got to stop and say hello.
Yeah.
And then I just head nod. I'm like, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
That's it for me. And we're good.
That's like, good.
I acknowledge your existence. Yeah. You acknowledge mine. We're good.
I'm much like that. On.
No, he's got a star. I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? Now, the funny ones are people that were angry at him.
Yeah.
And or talking shit. He will walk straight up to me like, hey, buddy, how you doing? Shake their hand. Give
good
him
for
half
you.
A hug and stuff. No, he's trolling him. He's trolling.
I get it. No, that's why I said good
really
for you.
Uncomfortable, especially if they're smaller. Now,
yeah,
it's not often that you see a guy bigger than Lucas. But Lucas is a big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But even the big guys will come up, and they all of them, the eyes get wide, and they're like, "Hi, Lucas, how you doing?" Now they were just like a couple days ago talking shit on the internet.
Yeah,
and you know you. A lot of people talk shit, and you don't engage. You're just like, say whatever you want.
You just kind of dust it off. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a big boy. You can believe what you want.
You don't cry over it. A lot of people do, though. You don't get upset.
Yeah. People are going to believe what they want to believe. They're going to say what they want to say. But the ones that talk shit, and sometimes he's in a bad mood, and he'll jump on, and he will engage. Not fully engage as in arguing, but he'll just throw a counter narrative out there.
Yeah.
And he'll just be like, well, it's like this also. And they'll go back and forth sometimes. Or he'll just throw it out there and just leave it. But then watching them shake hands is always hilarious. Because at the very next conference, out comes the hand. Like, they were the best friends in the whole wide world. And I can't do that. I don't get bothered by somebody talking shit. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't care. But if I kind of know you're a skis bag because you've done skis bag things, not rumors, like, you know, something went down at the shop and the guy, you know, was sleeping with his employee's wife and then fired him. And then the wife ended up divorcing then there's kids involved. And you're like, you're that guy. Like, I am not going to walk up to you and be like, hey, buddy, how you doing? He will. He doesn't care. It's all the same to him. Me, I'm like, ugh. How you doing?
Yeah. The problem is David can't get it off his face, right?
Yeah. I wear it. Like, I'll walk in there and they'll be like,
he doesn't like me.
You find a game and a little bit of humor in some of this, right?
Absolutely.
In a sick way, you know.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I get it.
I don't hate people, David. I like everyone.
It's not about hating people. It's not about hating people. I'm annoyed that whole conversation even happened. I'm saying it's not. It's just that it's emotionally taxing and physically exhausting to smile and be nice. It is.
You're a pretty hateful person. I can see that.
It's not about being hateful. It's just it's exhausting. Go do 100 push-ups and then be like, hey, now that you've done 100 push-ups, I need you to also carry all these boxes down. It's just like, I just did 100 push-ups. I don't want to go carry boxes. You're like, no, it'll be fine. Let's go carry boxes. You will do the 100 push-ups and carry the boxes. And you're like, yeah, I'm carrying boxes. It's so much fun. I'm done after the 100 push-ups. I don't want to do anything else. Done. That's what it feels like.
What do you think of that?
I think it's funny. I think we got two different brains that think two different ways. You get pleasure from this and you don't, and
it works perfectly.
I think it's complimentary, and I have two service advisors on my team that I hired on purpose like that because they work very
different
types of clients, and they complement each other.
That is probably the smartest thing you can do on your front counter.
Yeah.
Is find the personalities that work.
Yeah.
And hire those personalities around each other, mm-hmm. right? And we've found that a couple different times. We're still kind of working to find the right person for the front counter to work with Jade. Like the person that
I bet he doesn't even know who Jade is.
Of course he doesn't know who Jade is. Would you expect him to?
I guess the listeners know who Jade is. Anyway, Jade is his service advisor.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He, you know, he's a very technical fella. And he has to, like, really think.
Do you enjoy being a shop owner?
I do.
We're not going to get along. Let's now, move on hey, from that.
Hey, you interrupted me. I said most days of the week. Not every.
So,
how do you get past the 5 a.m.? I just woke up. I'm up. It's going to be a good day. I'm going to enjoy it today. We're going to get some work done.
Yeah.
I'm going to have some money come in. Everybody's going to get paid. I'm going to pay some bills.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one-star review comes in. And now, a justifiable one-star review,
yeah.
I can take that lick, right? Like, we screwed up.
Yep.
This did not go well. It was not a good personality match, mm-hmm. right? They were expecting me to do something different than what I can provide, and they were not very understanding. But when you go above and beyond and they're still not happy,
mm-hmm.
and you do absolutely everything you can possible and even give them solutions outside of what you can do,
right,
and they still leave you a one-star review, and you're just like, what in the hell? Lucas and I have been telling you about Parts Tech for a while now, and how it gives you access to unlimited parts and tire vendors and direct integration with over 35 shop management systems. And now they've just launched a new referral program. All you have to do is open your Parts Tech account, go to My Shop, and click on the Rewards tab. There you'll find your referral URL, which you can share via email, text message, or on your social media. If your referral signs up for a new account and places 5 orders in the first 30 days, Parts Tech will send you a $100 gift card. That's it. Nothing else is needed. Your referrals can get you $100 just for using Parts Tech, which, by the way, is absolutely free to get started with. So if you're using Parts Tech already, start sharing that referral link. And if you haven't signed up for Parts Tech yet, what are you waiting for? Click on the link in the description or go to partstech.com/podcast. That's partstech.com/podcast.
Hey, one more thing. If you find out that your shop management system doesn't integrate with Parts Tech, it's time to upgrade. David and I use what we believe to be the very best system on the market, Shopware. With unmatched features like Parts GP Optimizer and DVX, which is their digital vehicle experience, Shopware really is way more than just a shop management software. With it, you'll be able to create an immersive and interactive experience for your client, setting you apart from everyone else using run-of-the-mill software. Are you ready to upgrade? Click the link in the show notes to get started.
Or you thought you had a great time, like great experience. Like, I took care of you. Mm-hmm. We helped you out. Everything went great. And then you just leave me a one-star review.
Right.
How do you get past that?
That was a very hard thing for me early on. And I'm I'm a person that got into this business because I care. And I think that that's a reason a lot of us do what we do every day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I can tell that's why we're sitting here today is because you guys care about this industry and this business.
For sure.
And I put everything that I owned on the line to open a shop up and be able to give back to people, and I care. So obviously I try to build that culture and empower that into all of my teammates. And one of the, and so when somebody does have that experience, it used to eat at me, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're like, I meant nothing bad with this, and I'm being accused of
just like terrible stuff.
Terrible stuff. And you're like, this was a human mistake. Like, I'm very sorry. We had a process flaw. So at first, you know, these really beat me up. And mm-hmm. fortunately, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had a lot of these situations because I feel that we try to learn from these things. And my team very much works together on trying to solve stuff and mm-hmm. catch stuff before it gets bad. But I tell you what, it took a little while and some thickening of the skin. The longer I'm in it, it seems to get a little easier. But, you know, I think the hardest thing for me was just kind of separating, like, we did everything in our ability. That's what I'll look at is, like, if somebody had a bad experience, let's analyze this and try to troubleshoot it almost like we would a car.
Is this a us thing or a them thing?
Right. You try to figure out, where did this go wrong? And did we set a bad expectation up front with this guest? Was it a process flaw? Did we not qualify this customer to determine if they were a fit for us? Did we leave some information out?
Yeah.
And I find a lot of times that a bad experience is probably something we may have been able to prevent on the front end of stuff.
Yeah.
Not always, though, because, you know, if I'm a little time, I'd like to give you an example of a situation that we were in. And this one, like, really struck a chord with me. And it was wild how this thing evolved. So we had a vehicle come in. A guy made an online appointment. And this was the first day that my newest service advisor started with us.
Yeah.
So I have two advisors on the counter. One of the guys has been with me almost, you know, since we were a year in business, and our shop's been open 3.5 years. So this guy's been with me quite a while. We built a lot of processes together. So we hired our newest advisor in. It's his first day on the job. So obviously I'm up at the counter with him and we're working. And so and the guy ended up dropping the vehicle off overnight. So anytime we get a drop off, we're always making verbal contact in the morning just
make sure they know that today we've got the car.
Yeah, because he created an online appointment. We've never had any verbal conversation with this gentleman to discuss our processes, what this looks like. So I get on the phone with him because you know how it goes. People will make an appointment for one thing and then they'll add on five others, right?
Yeah.
Kind of typical.
Yeah.
So I just called him and kind of ran him through the process. I ran him through all the price, you know, here's how this is going to work. And, oh, okay. So what, you know, and he kind of gives you a little bit of back and forth questioning and I explain it. And I said, so here's what I'm going to do is I had a little bit of a feeling with this gentleman. Yeah,
you get that.
So I wasn't good with verbal authorization. And so I ended up sending him. I said, hey, I'm going to send you an authorization via email and text through the shop management system. I need you to read through this. And once we get that back, then we can begin work on this. Yeah. And so he approved it almost immediately. Cool. We're going to get to work on it.
Yeah.
All right. So we go through and we did everything that we talked about. At that point, my other advisor had kind of stepped in because, you know, I was working with the new guy. We went and did some other stuff. And, you know, now we very much like kind of separate tickets out. Like if one advisor starts to finish, we were still kind of transitioning. So the other advisor stepped in. I filled him in on what was going on and he called. And I guess the guy was a little hesitant that, oh, it was just a blown fuse. Well, I don't know if we did the greatest job
conveying
that.
Yeah. And I have stepped slapping. I lost a good client over something like that.
Yeah.
And it was a deal where it took 4.5 hours to work back through the system to find why the fuse had blown.
Right.
But in his mind, it was still a blown fuse, and you charged me $400.
Yeah.
Right?
And that was the classic example here was so where this got a little bit weird at is he also brought the vehicle in, and it was a Ford pickup, and he said it had a rattle noise on startup. You know, we're real familiar with a lot of that. So he said, you know, and I have the call. So when I'm talking to him on the phone, he goes, you know, I'm not planning on keeping this pickup. And He goes, I know this is going to be an expensive repair, so if you can just give me an estimate to what it would be to,
yeah,
to replace that. And, you know, we kind of know there's a service bulletin for that concern on that vehicle. Yeah. So, you know, I just validated, you know, it was kind of, I felt I was doing this guy a little bit of a service. I wasn't charging him to fully look into this issue. I'm going to kind of diagnose it. I'm going to give him an estimate, and hopefully this is kind of cool. It's a first time guest. I'm going to try to take care of him. You know, that's my thought process.
Yeah.
So we put an estimate together to do this work, and guy comes in, wasn't real happy, you know?
Yeah.
You could tell he was just kind of like agitated when he came to pick the vehicle up. And my advisor went over the estimate with him for that repair then, because again, he told us that he's probably getting rid of this vehicle. I don't want to keep it. It's too old. Didn't seem very happy that he had to pay the assessment fee to replace the fuse. I don't know why you guys are charging me that to replace a fuse. We'd gone through all of our technicians document all of their work with a story that is on the invoice. So that way that we can sell the value and convey what we did. So not even 15 minutes later, 1-star review on Google comes across.
Yeah.
And the guy just tore us up. Mm-hmm. I paid $100 and some odd to get a fuse replaced.
Fuse.
And then they tried to charge me $100 for an oil change.
Yeah.
The other thing that made me mad was that these guys are $600 higher than the dealership is to do a job on my engine.
Yeah.
He goes, what kind of shop is higher than the dealer? Can you believe that?
Right.
And it just went to town. It was a paragraph.
Yeah.
And it blew me away. And I'm like, what in the world do I do here?
Yeah.
I was just like, I mean, it's just like knife to the chest.
Dude, it hurts. It like really does not feel nice.
I'm like, we did everything we could here to try to do this right in the best of our abilities at that point in time.
Yeah.
So I try to call the guy and he won't answer. You know, that's what I'm going to try to do right away, is we're going to try to get this resolved.
Right.
But I also don't want to act in emotion in the moment. You know, I try to give this a little bit of time for me to process this, think about what the customer experience was to have him feel that way, that he needed to do that without coming back in to try to discuss or like get a little more information. But I figured, you know, I just typed up what you have to do at that point is you got to reply and you've got to let the public see, because this is an awful review,
especially
being a new business. We at that time, we'd only been open a little over 2 years.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to gain traction and get steam rolling in our community. And like, I'm big in the community and I don't want to be seen that I'm doing any sort of bad business with anybody.
Those replies are always to the others that are looking at them.
That's what it is.
It's never, ever, ever to the person who wrote the review.
And I've learned a lot of that, you know, through these Facebook groups that you like with you guys, and you see a lot of how people react and you learn. And I didn't quite see that at first.
Yeah. And when you see the other people respond and they respond negatively and you're from the outside looking in, you're like, ooh, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best lesson when it comes to like seeing somebody's negative response.
Yeah.
Man, there's some bad ones too.
There are. And we've got a shop in town and they're very notorious. The owner will go on there and he will just start there will be profanities in it and it gets ugly. And I'm just like,
yeah,
all right, good for you. But I don't want to be viewed as that.
I don't want to be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy.
So you type up a response.
So I type a response up. I actually, what I did, because I was just so blown away, is I got a hold of my business coach first. And I just said, hey, I want to run you through this. I'm looking for a little bit of advice here. This is the first time I've been in this situation. What do I do?
Yeah.
So he kind of talked me off the cliff a little bit and kind of said, hey, think about this and this when you reply. But he goes, you need a reply on there today.
Yeah.
Do not let that sit. Get something out there. You need to. And that's what he had told me as well, is like, you're going to reply so others see how you handle this. Sure. So I crafted up a reply and it was, you know, I'm very sorry. We couldn't meet your standards. I would like to have an in-person conversation with you at your convenience. I'd like you to come to the shop. I want to discuss what went wrong, how we can make this right.
Yeah.
I said, I'm very sorry too that you do not feel that our quote for that engine repair was an acceptable price. I said, if we are $600 more than the dealer is not doing the same job that we are doing.
Yeah,
and I exactly. want you to have you come in here so we can review this estimate together.
Yeah.
I put my personal cell phone number on there.
Yeah.
And I even called it out. This is my personal cell phone number, which I was very uncomfortable doing.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But I felt like it would make a statement to the public that
That's this, what Google Voice is for.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I'm just trying to show these people that I really care here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just blood pressure's through the roof for like 24 hours. Cause I'm just like looking at my phone. I'm like, okay, when's this guy going to call? When's this guy going to call?
Yeah.
Okay. Did he ever call?
So a week comes and goes, nothing. Mm-hmm. I go to Apex in 2022. Mm-hmm. And he modified his response and tore us up even more in it. Nice. What? Yeah.
Because he went to some other shop and they were like, I don't know. Is that what happened?
So it was after I replied. And then he, I think he knows how to work the game. So I looked this, you can click on their Google profile. And that was 80% of his reviews were one stars tearing everybody up.
Yeah.
So some people too with Google, they will, if they see these one star reviews.
Any opportunity to, yeah.
But you know, that's what I look at too when I'm evaluating a business. I
go back to the person who left the review.
I'll look at the one stars. I'll see, okay, this person looked pretty irate and hostile. Let's go see if it's like a trend. I'm analytical and I want to see that sometimes.
For sure.
But I also look at how the business operator replies.
Mm. Yeah.
So we didn't hear a word. Like you said, nothing came of it. But I've got this one star review just lingering out there that I just didn't, it just didn't sit good with me. Mm-hmm. All right. 10 months later, my cell phone rings and I've got this guy's like name just burned into my brain, you know, cause it's like
eating you alive.
Yeah. And what we did with that experience though, transformed our business because we looked at everything that could have went wrong there and we wrote an SOP for it. And figured out how to prevent that from ever happening again. Now, you can't prevent giving somebody an estimate and them being, we were looking at, okay, why is this guy complaining of my oil change price? Well, because he was going somewhere down the street that was $30 maybe.
Yeah.
He knew the price and authorized it.
Yeah.
So we just did a better job up front explaining what sets our service apart.
We're doing a oil service, not an oil change.
Correct.
Yeah.
We are going to sell.
Hey everyone, it's Lucas. I'm sorry to jump in, but I thought it was important to come and say this. You know, I'm often asked, why do we always talk about Kim and Brian Walker and Shop Marketing Pros on the show? It's because we genuinely believe in their product. Why do I use them for my own marketing? In fact, they're building me a new website right now. It's not cookie cutter. I kept getting on Facebook and every shop looked the exact same. I didn't want to be that. And it's not just that. It's that they're part of your team. When you hire them to do your marketing, they get to know you. They know what you believe. They know what you say, and they know why you do what you do. And they share that with your clients. That's huge. And beyond all of that, probably the most important factor in all of this is they stand behind their work. So don't wait. Go today and get your free marketing analysis from Shop Marketing Pros. They're genuinely our friends and they're genuinely here to help shop owners have a better life. Click on the link in the show notes for your free marketing analysis today. That's right. It's free. Doesn't cost you a dime.
A set of tests on this vehicle and we are going to make sure that guest understands what we did thoroughly.
Yeah.
So 10 months later, cell phone rings and I see... You know, not all calls will come up with caller ID, but this guy's name popped up. And I said, I don't know if I can use profanity here, but I said, holy shit. I let it go to voicemail. I'm going to be honest because I was so caught off guard. This is the end of the day, Friday. And you know, Friday, sometimes it's just, we're a Monday through Friday shop.
And so it's hectic.
And we're a little bit hectic.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to help a guy on a car. You know, I'm still very active with training my team and I'm not actively working on cars all day, but I'm very much in the shop coaching and guiding. And I needed a minute to think about, I wasn't going to avoid this guy's call, but I needed a little bit of time. I'm not a quick wit and I need a little bit of time to think slow stuff through.
Slow the thought process down, kind of get a grasp on what you think's getting ready to happen.
Yeah. So what do I do again? Phone a friend, call the coach up and I say, hey, here's the deal. You remember that review?
Yeah.
And I said, what would you do here? I got a plan. Let me run it by you. But I said, what would you do? And he goes, I'd ask the guy what. Well, he called and he goes, I would just figure out why did the guy call you? Because his voicemail said, hey, this is, I did listen to his voicemail. He left me one. Hey, this is, I'm not going to say his name, so-and-so. You guys looked at my Ford back in last year. He goes, you gave me an estimate for an engine repair, and I want to have you guys do the work.
Oh, my God.
You see where this is starting to just get insane, right?
Yeah.
After you just blew me up.
And so, you want me to work on your car now.
And you want me to do this work now. All right, so call the coach up. And he goes, I would just ask him, what changed between now and 10 months ago that you want us to do the work now, but you badmouthed us so bad?
I don't want you to tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay? I'm just going to, from personal experience, I'm going to put out there that my vote is that he took it to the dealership and they went to fix it. And then they said, oh, by the way. And so I'll let you go ahead and finish.
So I call him back, and this is within 20 minutes of him calling. I just said, hey, I'm very sorry. I was helping a technician. Thanks for your patience. How's it going? You know, I'm trying to be cordial, much like we were talking here earlier. This guy's caused a little bit of hell in my life because I personally dwell on this stuff. So this last year, I've had this review hanging out there. Now this guy wants to call and have us do this work.
Yeah.
And that's what I asked him. I said, you know, let's talk a little bit. Tell me what's changed between now and then you left us a pretty nasty review out there. I immediately responded. I wanted to try to work this out with you to see where we went wrong. But I said, I also want you to know that based on that review, we changed a lot of internal processes to prevent anybody from having an experience like that again.
Yeah.
So I just took a little bit of ownership there, even though I don't necessarily feel I was in the full wrong. I do think we did things wrong.
For sure.
Never say we're perfect. Well, you know, I just hear you guys do good work. And I don't trust the shop down the street to do it, so.
So the guy's nuts.
The guy was nuts.
Yeah.
So that wasn't the answer I was looking for.
Yeah.
I was looking for, hey, I was suffering from something. I'm on medication now. I was going through a divorce. You know, I'm looking for something there that was a little bit of logic.
Yeah. And there is none.
And I told him, I said, all right, we looked at this vehicle and I hadn't quite made a decision. To be honest, I didn't want this guy in my business.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm trying to mitigate this thing a little bit.
Yeah.
He also made a comment too in this conversation and he goes, I really feel bad about the review that I left out there and I don't feel right about it. And he goes, I'm going to take the review down.
Okay.
And I said, all right. I said, but here's the thing. I said, if I ever, you know, if we do business again, I want an opportunity to correct an issue before you do go publicly blast us for stuff. I said, that's the type of people we want to work with here because I'm a person with dignity and pride and I care and I want a chance to be able to make things right. So I said, here's the deal, Scott. I said, I want to think about this over the weekend. I said, we haven't looked at this truck in 10 months. I don't know what additional damage has been done to the vehicle with you driving it in that manner. And I said, I'm not sure I want to work on it. But I said, that was 10 months ago. Let me go back and check prices again. And I said, I'll call you Monday.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't like my pricing,
it's gone up by now.
My labor rate's gone up a bunch in a year. You know, I've gone up because I've had to do, you know, we weren't charging accordingly and now we know what we're doing and we raised our rates to be where we need to be in the market. And so I thought about it over the weekend and I'm waiting to see, you know, is this guy really going to pull this review down? And he did, believe it or not, he took it off there completely. And then I went into his profile and he took a bunch of 1-star reviews off.
What in the world?
I don't know what he's gone through. But something must have happened in his life. And so I decided to not have my team reestimate the job.
Okay.
What we did, though, to go back to your statement, Lucas, is we checked the Carfax.
Yeah.
2 days prior to him calling me, it had been somewhere. Yeah. So I have to assume it was.
He took it, got a price.
Yep.
The issue had gone downhill.
Yep.
And so he took it and he got a price and he didn't like the price. And now all of a sudden your price is better than their price.
And I knew that this was the game being played here and that I needed to really tread my, you know, I needed to walk this one on a tightrope. And so I called him back Monday as I promised. And I was just going to tell him I respectfully declined to do this job at this point. And any, you know, I was kind of taught as well, you know, if you can't do something for somebody, tell them what you, you know, if you don't want to do it, find somebody that can. So, yeah.
Fill that void.
I've got a shop that I would send him to that I do trust a little bit, and I would just give him a little bit of a clean slate with this guy. Maybe they can build a relationship with him. And so I called him, and I mean, all weekend, I'm just a little bit nervous over this still. I'm just kind of a naturally a little bit of a worry.
Like, it's like you're going to fire an employee and you can't sleep the night before.
Kind this of deal. Is about the first conversation as a business owner that I've really had to get into here.
Yeah.
We are very fortunate with where we're at in our community that we have a lot of great customers. Like it's just a great demographic. The people care. They love doing business with us because we have a small town feel, but we also offer, I feel, an exceptional service. We're using a lot of things, you know, DVIs, which nobody has used in our area.
Yeah, for sure.
That was a game changer for us. But, so I called him on a Monday. I left him a voicemail. Friday afternoon again, he calls me back. So I go all week just wondering, like, how's this gonna go? How's this gonna go? And I'm kind of, and then I figured he wasn't gonna call me back. You know, I figured he just had guilt. He pulled the review. Friday afternoon, he calls the shop, called the shop line instead of my cell phone because he deleted the review and probably didn't have my cell phone number saved anymore.
Yeah.
And so my advisor walks upstairs. So I have a desk up on a mezzanine. It kind of oversees the shop.
Yeah.
And I don't have a dedicated office, but. And he goes, "Hey, it's so-and-so." I'm like, "Let's get it on, you know?"
Yeah.
So I just told him, I said straight up, I said, "Hey," and this, I was kind of worried how this was going to go.
Right.
But I told him, I said, "Hey, you know, I'm going to respectfully decline this repair. I don't feel that I don't want to set an expectation for you and have you upset with me again. This vehicle has been driven a little too long.
Yeah.
I don't feel comfortable giving you an estimate, but here's what I can do is I can refer you to another shop that I trust." And that's great. Thank you very much. And that's where that ended. Isn't that,
you know,
it's a weird deal.
I see in my head the number of reviews that I've gotten over the years, especially negative ones, and the number of shops that I've talked to and the number of shops that I've worked with that get a review. There's a plethora of reasons. And two, maybe three of them are actually that the shop did something wrong. The rest of them are personal issues with the individual leaving the review. I have a little bit of an issue with, and it is the world that we live in, but I have an issue with review platforms that don't even verify that that person had been at that business.
Yeah.
And make sure that it's a legitimate review. But there's thousands of reasons that someone may leave a negative review. The reality of it is 1% of those is because they had a bad experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them. Or they did not talk to me the way that I wanted to be talked to. I didn't feel like I got the value. And if you go back and you review the situation, it's BS. It's absolutely inaccurate. And it makes me think of one in particular. We had one a while back, and I've had negative reviews, and we don't have that many of them. Like, thank God. Because I don't dad voice my clients.
I never had one that I dad voiced leave me a bad review.
The ones that stand out to me is I had one leave me a bad review because when we do the DVI, we drive the car a minimum of 3 miles, right?
Yeah.
Every single time. We had one come in for a state inspection, and this dude, and he made the appointment online. I shared with him our process, and that's something I wish Steven from Auto Ops would do, is like when you make the appointment, if there were to be like a little list that we could verify we followed up if the client made the appointment, so we can just check it off the list and make that gone. Because that's something that advisors miss often, is a client booked appointment. If you don't have a system that tracks that and they know they booked their own appointment,
yeah,
we have to call the client that booked their own appointment. We cannot just let that go. We have got to call them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And so this guy comes. Because if you don't set the expectation of what their experience is going to be like in your shop and let them know what.
Okay, but then let them figure that out when they drop it off. Like, hey, this is what's
going to go down. I would much rather get them out of my hair, because you're going to do exactly what Mike Allen is doing. They're going to show up and thinking they're getting something for free. And then you're going to end up saying, well, actually, the testing is.
I don't think any reasonable person walks in thinking that
it's so funny you say that. It is
$0.
It is so funny you say that because I was talking to Jade a while back and she said, when I worked at the vet office, she said, we didn't even have to tell people the price because they knew they would have a bill. She said, I've never worked in an industry where people expect the repair or the testing or whatever to be free. And she said, they walk through this door every single day and don't realize they're going to have to pay a bill.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think you're wrong. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about that.
Well, you didn't let me finish what I was saying. And I don't care what you have to say, so shut up. So this gentleman, I talked to him. I explained the process. I said, hey, we're very thorough. We actually do the state inspection. There's a lot of shops that just pass the state inspection. We don't do that here. We're going to drive the car. We're going to check the car out. We're going to make sure it's safe and reliable. And I do this not only because I want your car to be safe for you, but you pass my wife, my daughter, and my son on the road.
You bet.
And so it's very important to me that your vehicle's safe.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, wow, that's really phenomenal. That's fantastic. Great. Appreciate it. You know, it's a fairly new car, so I don't think you'll find anything. Well, they take the car out and drive it. I'm out of town, and dude shows up screaming at my staff.
Oh, no.
Because we drove his car, and we're not qualified to drive Teslas. And if there was a problem with his car, he would take it to Tesla. And dude just absolutely flipped out. Now, he's a doctor. Okay, you go look at his reviews. Every single one of them is the same thing. He didn't get exactly what he wanted, exactly when he wanted, exactly how he wanted. I'll never forget, man. I had this experience years ago.
Yeah,
when I was working at the hospital.
Well, are we shifting stories?
We hold up. We had this radiologist, and this dude was so effing mad. He's screaming at me, telling me what a dumbass I am for not being able to fix his computer. Because it wasn't plugged in, right? And so these people,
typical,
some of these people just act that way.
Yeah.
Right. And they're entitled and they believe they deserve something. They, whatever it may be. And I've learned something about people. They will leave you a bad review because they did something that embarrassed themselves in your facility.
Got it. Yeah.
They said or did something stupid.
Now, here's a plot twist. Here's the plot twist.
Okay.
On the Tesla, they can monitor like all the cameras on their app.
That's right.
And then they can see that his employees were ripping up and down the mountain in the Tesla, racked up 12 miles on this brand new Tesla, going into psycho mode. What do they call it?
Ludicrous.
Ludicrous mode. But that did not happen. It just went. Did you verify?
0 to 60 in 1.3.
And here's the thing. Poor Lucas. I feel bad for him. And now he's like, we didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And then like a year later, he posted this video on the Facebook group, and he's like, I don't know why this guy's mad. We drove this thing perfectly fine on a QC test drive.
Right.
He's driving this thing around, pulls out on this, and just floors it. And this thing was a diesel or something like that? Now, he gets it, and he posts this video thinking he did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. I see that 1 second clip going, if this were my modified diesel and I drop this vehicle off at the shop and go, hey, do your thing.
Yeah.
And on a test drive on my dash cam, I see the employee just lay into it. I'm going to be annoyed. And I'm like, hey, was there a reason why you just used half a tank of fuel just to rip down this street and just so you could feel that pull? Like, get your own.
Did you know that he only hit maybe half throttle in that car? That was actually a 5.0 Coyote Mustang. Was I love your automotive ability. I have no idea.
I heard whistling.
No.
There was no whistle?
That's just how loud it is. Dude, he barely even cracked the throttle.
I don't know, dude. He's saying that. I'll send you the video. You can watch the video on the Facebook group. Right. And I'm just telling you, and everybody is on there like, oh, Lucas, you're so wonderful.
If it had been his shop, they would have ripped him a new asshole.
I know, probably. But they didn't get past the like 30 seconds. Like it's like 3.5 minute long video. And,
yeah.
But it's a little bit in there. He pulls out and you can he laid into it harder than he should, is what I'm saying.
The ground was wet. If he had laid into it, the one spot I had a problem with when he did that was he's in the corner, right? And so like he goes across the yellow line a couple times coming down the hill. But I mean, it's a tiny little narrow road, right? But he, when he goes through the corner, as he pulls off of the parkway, he's getting ready to get on 321. He steps in a little bit harder than he should have coming around that corner. Now, when he pulled out, what you don't know is on the other side of that is a completely blind corner. Mm. You can't see what's coming. And there's a bridge. And so when he pulled out, he realized, hey, a car's coming. I need to get into it a little bit. What you heard is that car is loud as F, dude. I mean, you start that car, and it will bust your F in eardrums.
He's got freaked out by dash cams.
He's got foam pool noodles that he puts in the car because his apartment was going to kick him out. Because if he doesn't put those foam pool noodles in the exhaust, it's so loud that it literally rattles people's houses when he starts the car. That's awesome. And so when he pulls out, dude, if he had been over half throttle, that car would have spun. It's a tuned car. And so when he pulled out, he just stepped into it because a car came flying around the corner up behind him. I wasn't happy with how he drove it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy with it.
There was nothing wrong with the test drive other than that one spot. And so I'm saying there's a trend here. There's a trend because this isn't the first time of, hey, I don't like how you guys drove my car on the test drive.
I see that.
This is the second time. Now, a normal person, you seem analytical, what you were portrayed. You take a step back and go, well, maybe, hey, guys, like quarter throttle 100% of the time, unless we're trying to duplicate a problem.
That's the policy. So the policy is that when they drive the car, they dictate how they're driving the car. Right. That's what they're doing. And so that's why he didn't post the other video or didn't reach out with the other video is because when the technician drove that car that you're talking about, he was talking about what he was doing, why he was doing it, where he was going, where he was turning at.
While he was driving the vehicle.
While he was driving the vehicle. And so that is our policy.
But he was doing that for the dash cam?
He was doing that for the dash cam. And that's what they do. That is their rule when they're driving a car. They call that they're on the road over the radio. They tell everybody, hey, here's where I'm going. So if something happens and they don't come back, we know that they were on the road.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. If you break down on the road, because we don't have cell phone service in some areas.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, that can be. That's a true thing. Yeah.
We have a dedicated test driver out. There's a 3 mile, there's a 5 mile, and there's a 10 mile.
Yeah.
And so everybody knows where that's at and knows where somebody would be if they don't call or something happens. We know where the dead zones are up through there. We know every bit of that process. The two environments, this dude showed up when he saw his car move. He wanted us to walk out to the car and pass the inspection. They just moved his car, right? He didn't even expect them to drive his car. He wanted them to walk out and inspect it, okay?
The Tesla. Yeah.
And it was nothing was out of the way. He even shows me the trip. He like screenshots it and he's like, "You drove my car 2 miles." And on the screenshot, it shows the max speed was the speed limit, right? Like, it was obvious they hadn't done anything weird or wrong, didn't show anything, any alerts.
Card acceleration or anything like that?
So
sus. Anyway.
You're sus.
This sounds like a whole lot of copium is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If it's just a blown fuse, I will do it for free. Like, I don't care. Like, we write up it. It's like customers.
But if you're doing the testing to get to the blown fuse, bro.
What's the, dude? This circuit is not. There's a problem with this circuit. Step one: is there a fuse in the circuit?
No, dumbass. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if I've got to find out why I'm over current, right?
Here's the problem, though. You're right. So the next step, I put the fuse in there. What are you doing? Check. You're checking amperage pull.
Right.
There's a motor. There's a something. A solenoid. Something.
And
in
I'm
that
happy
circuit.
To call them and tell them and before I move forward. That's my.
That. Well, not always though, because they're gonna be like, oh, a fuse. Great. Okay. Click. They think fixed. They don't understand.
There's more to it.
There's more to this. So you tell the technician, proceed with the testing now. If there's a failed component in there, like, hey, this is a 10-amp circuit, that thing is hitting 8 amps pull. Now, on a 10-amp circuit, there shouldn't be anything at any point hitting more than 4 to 5 amps. It's supposed to be half of whatever the fuse max is.
Your inrush will be over, but your sustained will be less.
Yes. Well, even the inrush, though, shouldn't be tickling the 10 amp fuse. It should be low enough that at no point do we pop a fuse, because some of these components are critical to the running of the vehicle.
You bet.
Like, so if the technician comes back and goes, hey, this thing's at 8 on a 10 amp circuit, we're selling them a new component. And hey, blown fuse, with this failed component. This component is worn. We need, 100% of the time. And then the whole discussion of we fixed it with the fuse gets thrown out.
Right.
Now I have both a blown fuse and a reason for a blown fuse. Mm-hmm. And that ends that discussion entirely.
Tell me the reasons that a fuse may blow.
I don't know. Why, what? What do you mean?
I want to know the reasons that a fuse may blow.
I let the technician tell me why the fuse would have blown.
But you just said, just replace the component.
Well, yeah, but do you still do voltage drop tests and stuff? You do your full testing. Now, if he gets in there and he's like, and he checks the circuit and he checks the components of the circuit. Now, where I will throw this out there is that works if the circuit is simple enough. Mm-hmm. If it's a, hey, I replace this, there's a 50 amp fuse up front that's blown and it powers 7,500 things on the car. It's like, okay, well, we can go hunting. And that's where I'll call a customer and be like, we can go hunting or we can see if this will hold. Yeah, go ahead and see if it holds. Great. Most of the time they don't want us to, and we don't really want to either because, like, what do you even do? I'm not checking 7,500 components. I don't want to charge you $1,000. Anyway, we will replace the component and the fuse, and that ends that whole discussion.
If it the component is over current.
If it does not. If he checks it and he's like, dude, this thing it's humming. It's perfect. It's pulling 4 amps. Freezies.
Sure.
Freezies. Like, I don't care that the technician, my technician takes pictures of lab scopes and he writes up this whole, like, it's a whole.
Pictures of lab scopes? Why didn't he screenshot it?
You take a picture of the screen.
But then it's got all the glare in it and it's not very clear and you can't draw on it and show him what's going on. It seems cheap and lazy.
It's not. It's fine. You know why? Nobody even looks at it. Nobody even looks at it. It's for us. Anyway, the paragraph's in there. The customer doesn't care.
You bet.
All they hear is you replace the fuse. That's all they hear. It doesn't matter how much of a story you put in there. 100% of the time they will hear, oh, they just, you paid $120 for a fuse? Yeah. I didn't know what fuse. And now they feel stupid. Now you're an idiot. The shop's an idiot for making them feel stupid. And now they just badmouth you, even if they don't leave you a bad review. Even if they left happy.
I can see that.
Even if they left happy because you did your due diligence in explaining the whole thing, when they reiterate the story
to somebody else,
they're like, man, you're a dummy.
I can see that. Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're bad-mouthing you to everybody ever because they were made to feel stupid over that whole situation, even though you did everything right and you explained it to them and they left happy. No, do not charge them for the fuse. Well, there's no winning.
It comes down to, especially with the things that weigh on a business owner's mind, are the bad reviews, the screwed up cars, the things we didn't fix. We often don't realize there's thousands of happy clients to go along with the one upset.
This is not going to be a white pill. Don't white pill this. We're going to black pill you. I'm going to black pill you hard.
All right.
You're 3 years in.
Yeah.
This is one incident.
Yep.
Now multiply that one incident by 100 times here over the next 10 years. This is going to happen more than once. That, I hate to tell you, was light.
Yeah.
That was light. Wait until you get the phone call. They just gave you $5,000. You just did time and change water pump and some shit on some Ford Explorer because, you know, water pump, right? And so you did all this stuff and they're like, hey, we're about to take this to Colorado. And you're like, oh, great. This sounds wonderful. And you tell them, they better not mother effing break down. You double, triple, quadruple check. Yeah. Make sure everything. I want this thing on a 15-mile test drive. Pull it back in. Check for leaks. Okay, no problem. They do it. That effing car breaks down somewhere in between freaking Durango and County and who cares?
Yeah.
You're out in the middle of nowhere and you get the call or the email saying, hey, I broke down. It's overheating. And you just touched the car and they just paid you all this money. That
sucks.
Have you had that yet?
No.
Oh, man.
It'll happen.
Oh, coming, man. Though. And it's on It'll a Friday happen. Evening. It's Saturday.
It's always you wake the worst up,
you're
time.
Like,
yeah.
Huh? You're going to wake up and you're like, I'm going to have a great weekend. I'm going to make pancakes for my kids. And they're going to love the pancakes. I'm going to make smiley faces. You ever do the? No, you don't cook. Do you cook?
A little bit.
So I'll
make pancakes.
I'll make the pancake. Yeah. Giant pancake. And then you take some fruit. You cut it up. You shape it like an animal face. And then you pour syrup and they it's a face wash and they eat and they're giggling the whole time. It's wonderful. Anyway, you make that and you're like, this is going to be a great day. And then that email comes in and then you're the asshole because you're in a terrible mood going, mother effing car. And you didn't do anything wrong. It was just the car decided to give up the ghost on some random component just because it got jostled because you put it on a lift and put it back down 10 times.
And that's the reality is that happens. Right. And on top of that, we have other shops against us, right? You know, it's like
then they take it down to the shop, and then the shop's like, "Oh, they screwed you over. Yeah, I would have done that. I would have done that time and chain for $2,500."
Well, and I mean, it's like the last bad review I got taken down, and it was because the lady who had the car, right? She brought it in. She needed it back on Friday.
The loose bolt lady,
and she was supposed to bring it back the following day. Mm. Well. All we did, right? We did a peace of mind on the vehicle. We went over it. I sent her the pictures. I said, hey, did you get a chance to look at that shit? I don't have service. I'm like, well, you want to look at these things? You want to take a look and see what it is you'd want to do and go over everything? Hey, this is about the noise that you heard and went through the whole list. Well, I told her all of this work that was just done, just take it back to the place that just did the work, a Mr. Tire, and get them to go over these couple little things because this is related to the work they did.
Yeah.
She takes it back and they say, oh, they lied to you. None of that's bad. They were trying to take advantage of you. Okay, listen here, mother. How?
I got pictures.
How in the world am I going to take advantage of someone by sending them back to get warranty work done from you because you effed the car up?
Oh.
How is that me taking advantage of her? Because I'm not saying I'm going to charge her. I'm saying take it back to the people who did the work.
I had one guy leave me a bad review saying that they were trying to sell me stuff I didn't need, and they were sending me pictures of vehicles that weren't even mine. It wasn't even my car, the pictures that they were sending.
Oh, boy.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
So my reply to the review goes, sir, these pictures are date and time stamped.
Yeah.
So you get an alert saying that we are inspecting your vehicle when we start the inspection process. Mm-hmm. And you can see how long time has lapsed between when
I
we
give
sent
them pictures
you
the outside of the car. I give them.
Yeah. We have pictures of the outside of the car. You can see the paint color of your vehicle in the background. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
And are you saying that I have nothing else to do? This is what I put in there. Like, I don't have time to Photoshop date and timestamp pictures just to try to sell you work.
Right.
There are enough. I think I put the statistic in there. There's like $8 billion of unperformed automotive repair work. There is enough work on vehicles that I don't need to fake it.
Right.
There's too much work out there that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do it, great. If you do it, wonderful. Either way.
Like, yeah.
Are you serious? You think I'm Photoshopping pictures or sending fake pictures? These people are nuts.
Right.
That review's still up. Pull up my shop. You can read it.
Well, I mean, that one, she took that one down because she went to another shop.
A third shop.
And they basically told her, like, nah, Lucas was right. The other shop is known for absolutely taking advantage of people.
Nothing irks me more than the... I took it somewhere. They told me A. I went to a second shop. They told me B. And I will believe the second shop unequivocally. This is,
that's
they
true.
Told me the gospel truth. The first shop was trying to screw me. Why? Mm-hmm.
The second shop told them what they wanted
reasoning.
To hear. That's probably
maybe, maybe, but. Give me the reasoning for it. That doesn't make any sense because they feel more trustworthy or they were telling, like, take a step back and analyze the situation. Are they really more trustworthy? Are they providing you pictures? Did you give you an itemized estimate? And here's the thing. This is what irks the crap out of me. Like, at no point do I get on the phone and try to sell. Mm-hmm. We don't do that. I don't do that. I send them the list of shit that needs to be done. And I said, pick the shit you want us to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so at no point do they need to feel compelled to do anything. And I tell them that. Like, hey, we don't call to sell you work. You just choose. And if you don't want to do anything, you hit decline all, sign the bottom, come pick up your car.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And then go take it somewhere else. Have them screw it up. And you're going to get mad at me because I told you what was wrong with the car?
Right.
And we put so much emphasis on reviews. I mean, we really do. As an industry, we put a lot of emphasis on reviews.
Because of Google. This is entirely their fault.
It is.
But
and Yelp, I guess, too.
At the end of the day, I mean, do you know how many shops that have 2- and 3-star reviews that are packed full? Of course. I mean, I know a lot of shops that have terrible reviews.
Dude, what's your big chain? What's your chain around you? Do you have a big one?
We've got a couple. We've got 3 Christian Brothers in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Firestones. And then we've got a locally owned family tire chain as well that has like 30 stores. And
what's the name of it?
It's called Jensen Tire and Auto.
Oh, okay. I guarantee the Firestone's got 2 to 3 stars. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're always packed. Mm-hmm. But see, a lot of that is because they're open ridiculous hours. Like who's open on Sunday all day?
Right.
And will do work on the Sunday. And so somebody's like, I gotta do it on Sunday. They're going to go to the Firestone because nobody else is open.
That. Yeah.
The Christian Brothers is, they're all independently owned for the most part. They're all independently owned. So it's hit or miss. You can get some skeezy Christian Brothers that are just.
And we've got some great ones. There's some of our listeners that are in Christian Brothers and own Christian Brothers stores and do a really good job.
Yeah.
Well, not them, but there are some really skeezy ones.
Yeah. What do you think about all this?
I think it's interesting. I think that's one of the things I think we just have to be aware of as people that own these types of businesses is that we are the enemy in a sense because they're coming to us and with a problem.
Did you sign up for that? Did you sign up to be the enemy?
No, but I've come.
It's a little bit. It's always the people, right? At the end of the day, people need to understand that these things are deteriorating just by existing.
They do.
Just in the fact that they exist, those Ferraris that are parked outside right now are falling apart just being parked outside, sitting there. Like all the fluids are breaking down, everything, right? People don't understand that. So you get the call like, hey, I got this 25-year-old vehicle. It only has 50,000 miles on it. It's like, okay, it's still 25 years old.
Right.
And so everything's rusted. Everything's destroyed.
It's aged.
Yeah.
It's done. Worn.
Yeah. And so it's not new. I get that it's got 50,000 miles. That doesn't matter. They don't understand that. No. That is a foreign concept.
They just think of the mileage. That is it.
Mileage is it. That's all that matters.
I think of, you know, one of the big things that this makes me reflect on and think about is all the techs wanting to go start their own shop and start their own business.
Didn't you do that?
Yeah.
Why?
I wanted to make, I'm kind of weird and sick in the head.
Oh, we all are. That's why we started Chops.
Yeah.
But what,
part of it was crazy for you?
Well, the thing for me is, and this is where it gets weird, is because, you know, the longer you're in it, you know, these people, they have their guard up. They don't want to come to you. They're not happy when they come to you. But I feel I have a skill set that I wasn't using fully.
Yeah.
That was the biggest drive for me to go into this business.
Well, hold on now. You had a skill set in what sense? Like you were fixing cars.
Not fixing cars, believe it or not.
Okay.
So I spent 8 years as a training instructor.
Oh, okay.
And so I like giving back to people and helping grow people and coach people. And I feel that I also have a technical skill set that is very well, too.
Okay.
So if I can apply those things together.
Yeah.
And you guys know as well as I do that, you know, there's not a lot of great employers out there. We hear this all the time.
Yeah.
And I've worked for sure. some real crap heads. So I said if I had the opportunity, I was going to open a shop, give a great service, and treat employees great.
And here's the thing is that's one reason to do it.
Yeah.
Right? That's one reason to do it. But I think a lot of these guys are doing it saying, we're going to do this so we can make the money. We're going to do this so I don't have a boss. We're going to do
this.
That's
the biggest reason. Yeah.
Right. And the problem or the fear that I have for them is they don't realize that instead of having one boss, they have thousands of bosses now. And they start this thing, they pour their heart and their soul into it, and then they figure out and realize that 2 a.m. bad review comes in, right? And you know, talking about the reasons, the ones that get me is I'll get a bad review at like 2 a.m. at some point, and it's because they're sitting home slosh drunk and they're a mean drunk and they leave you a bad review. And all of those have been taken down, right?
That was like
I woke up. Yeah, I woke up and had a bad review from somebody that I questioned.
New fear unlocked right there.
Yeah. And so the best one that I can remember, we worked on this old guy's truck, right? And he's telling this story that he worked for NASA and he was welding on space shuttles for NASA. Mm-hmm. Now, it turns out the dude was serious and was accurate and was true. But it when they were welding for NASA, they were supposed to be wearing these like protective hoods with ventilation and all this stuff because welding alone is dangerous.
You bet.
But it turns out that what they were welding were these components that had already been like made and they were supposed to be done. And so they had put this special coating on them because they were used in the space shuttle, and they heated the coating, and it was smoking. Well, nobody was wearing this protective gear, so it damaged him neurologically. And so dude is half-wit crazy anyway, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll never forget this. We fixed his truck like two times before I learned my effing lesson, and we fixed it the first time, and he drops it off the second time. This is like a year and a half later. He's clearly deteriorated, right? He's not cognitively where he should be. And we offer to fix his truck for him. And I said, hey, man, I'm running into town. We'll give you a ride back. I had an employee with me. We pull up. He says, hey, I need to go into the gas station. I want to get a beer. So I pull up to the gas station. I'm putting gas in the car. And like, we're sitting there and dude never comes back out. And so I tell my employee, I'm like, hey, go see if you can figure out where he went. Like, where did he go? And we turn around and look. It's been 10 minutes.
Yeah.
This dude randomly walks out of the gas station, gets into somebody else's car with people in it, sits down, and like the people are just sitting in the car looking at him. Nobody's saying a word, and he's just sitting there, right?
Yeah.
And so this dude would leave me a bad review and take it down, leave me a bad review and take it down, leave me a bad review and take it down, like over and over and over again. And I don't know if Google stopped that from being a thing, like spamming reviews, but, you know, I don't think that the techs who are thinking about starting a business think about that. They think about, I'm going to go fix the car.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, man, I'm not going to charge as much. I'm not going to this. I'm not going to that. And everybody's going to love me. That's not what this experience is like.
Not at all.
I think that starting out, they don't understand how it impacts you. Mm-hmm. They don't see how that feels. Because, I mean, it like makes you sick.
It
will make you physically ill
if
you let it, you know? And I don't think that those starting businesses understand that necessarily.
So I want to open a mac and cheese truck.
Oh, so you can get bad reviews about how your mac and cheese is
shit. Yeah. You ever seen the meme with the guy that sells grilled cheese?
Yeah.
The $1 grilled cheese?
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
It's $1 grilled cheese. It's just $1. Doesn't make change. So if you give them a five, you get five grilled cheese. And it's nothing fancy. It's not deconstructed. It's white bread, American cheese, butter. Those are the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. That's essentially that. Mac and cheese. I'm going to have mac and cheese. And then maybe something frou-frou. But that's it. You get a bowl of mac and cheese.
But
you show up. I don't care whether you like it or not.
They have a bowl the same of mac and challenges. Cheese.
What's that?
They have the same challenges.
Nah. People love mac and cheese. Here's the thing. Nobody loves automotive repair. So they're going to show up thinking they're going to get a bowl of mac and cheese. Now, they may not like my cheese. They may not like the mac. They may not like the combination. They may think it's too hot. It's too cheesy. It's not salty enough. It's too salty. Whatever. Okay, fine. I don't care. I'm going to move on because it is what it is.
But you say that like that type of business is easier, but more restaurants fail than auto repair shops.
This is a food truck.
More food trucks.
It's going to be a food trailer so I can pull it wherever I need to. And then it's going to be, I'm going to open up and only for lunch and early dinner. And then that's it. I'm going to get the hell out. I'm done. Mac and cheese truck.
You know, the way I've seen you drive over the past few days, I could not imagine you driving something with a trailer behind it. I'm just going to be completely honest with you.
Is it that wild, huh?
No, it's not that wild.
No, okay.
We're running 35 mile an hour, but we're also sitting at the red light for 45 minutes while he's just like, and people are blowing the horns, and he's just like.
No. Well, sometimes they blow the horn. I'm waiting for the automated driving to happen. Like, just get in the car.
Yeah, he can't even drive his own car without curbing it. Can you imagine him pulling a trailer? You know, hey, look, he's going to be good for trailer tire business, I swear to God. Can you back a trailer? Have you ever backed a trailer?
As long as I have enough space. I let my employees do that. I'll toss the keys to my employees. We're like, can you handle this? I can't back that thing up. They're just like, I know. It is.
I'm going to bring you to North Carolina. We're going to teach you some life skills.
I got to be able to drive a trailer. That's a life skill.
That's a life skill.
If you're going to have a food trailer, yeah, you're going to. No,
that's true. But I can hire a driver, right?
Driving Miss Daisy. I can see it now.
Two people in the truck. Hey, we're gonna set up here this week and sell some mac and cheese. And I'll just have a big vat of mac and cheese and whoosh,
5 day go. Old mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Reheated.
Oh, we'll make it in the morning. We'll make it in the morning.
Right. Well, because they weren't cooked.
No, they turn to mush if they get old. But you know, every morning you make the noodles, you make the cheese sauce and go.
I don't know, man. I have seen more restaurant owners more stressed out and struggle more than repair shop owners.
What about McDonald's? Owning a McDonald's or Chick-fil-A? Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A?
I think back to my friend Britt, him talking about, like, the more money you make, the bigger the business is. Right. You might be able to sit at home 5 days a week and not actually have to work in the business. And you're doing the administrative kind of thing where you're deciding where you're going as an organization.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that by the time those problems get to you, you know, thinking about a Doug Grills.
Oh, yeah.
By the time that, if it's that a, problem is your problem. Mm-hmm.
Dumpster fire now.
Well, I mean, he was talking about typically the only time that he hears anything is when they lose an employee or multiple employees.
Somebody's died. Yeah.
Right. And he's like, you know, that's a tough. Because as the CEO of the company, now it's your responsibility to call the family and tell them what happened and, you know, console them and try and take
care of them. How big is your shop?
8 bays. 4 techs.
That's a big shop.
It's big.
Yeah. Who'd you hire to coach?
Bill Haas.
Okay.
I'm working with Bill currently.
Yeah. But was that who you started with?
No.
Who'd you start with?
I worked with Rick White for a little bit.
Okay.
In a group setting.
Oh, okay. So you went to Rick White, now yep. Bill Haas.
Yep.
I'm not a huge fan of group coaching. I don't think group coaching is a good fit for me personally.
If group coaching is cheap enough, it's not a bad place to start.
I see that. I just think of all the intensive knowledge and, like, really in-depth. I have some personal quirks that group coaching wouldn't have worked for, and I would have ended up not being successful because I didn't have somebody to stand there and kick my ass into gear and, like, push me through the things that I wasn't comfortable
with. That's where I was really at. I just needed somebody to work directly with me, hold me accountable. I need my ass kicked sometimes by somebody. Really? I do.
I get that it's not scalable and it doesn't make money.
Yeah.
Oh, for the coach?
No.
I don't understand that, though. That's a me thing.
I
hear what you're saying. Yeah. That's like 80% of people. They're like, because now you don't have a boss.
Yeah.
And you need somebody to go, hey, remember that thing you were supposed to do yesterday? You didn't do that yesterday. Mm-hmm. What's going on, man? And you're paying me $1,500, $2,000 a month to tell you that you should go do that thing. Mm-hmm. I don't need that because I know that thing still needs to be done.
And you just don't do that thing.
I don't do it.
And you're not going to do it. And
I have paid the guy to tell me to tell. And guess what? Yeah. I still don't do it.
Sure.
Because I don't want to. Hey, I understand. Did you do it? No. Well, why not? Because I don't want to.
I didn't want to. Yeah.
So why would I pay somebody to tell me? Yeah. Now, if you're brand new, that was smart, by the
that's
way.
That was the biggest thing.
You're brand new. Hey, this is how you structure the business. Now, I should have done that from day one. Yeah. I'd have hired a coach day one, or at least if I didn't have the money to hire a coach at least get into like the mastermind group or something, something to at least start laying the foundation that this is the way you schedule. This is the way you do you process the vehicle. This is the way you write up a ticket. Right. All of those little nuances that
I think the biggest thing is just being aware of that and cognizant of that. And I think there's different avenues for everybody that's coming into it. But yeah. I think a new shop owner needs to really consider that and get in a network of people, at least get this information and have people to talk to.
The problem with the group setting, though, and I know they're all going to it, but the problem with the group setting is that you get into an environment where people are afraid to ask those questions that are a little embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
And it turns into a good old boys club, and it comes into we're going to travel just to have fun. And we're going to ride around and we're going to go to other people's shops and we're going to do these things so we can enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you might get knowledge, you might get information, but from my personal experiences, seeing what people got from one-on-one and then seeing the switch and seeing what people got from group, I don't think group coaching is effective at the degree that one-on-one is. Now, I get it. To make that effective, you're going to have to pay somebody $5,000-$6,000 a month to make one-on-one coaching viable for a coach. Like,
no, then what are you talking about? But you want to have look what Cecil's doing. It was just Cecil. Mm-hmm. That's not scalable. So what do you have to do? Like, not everybody's going to jive with Cecil. Not everybody. Mm-hmm. So you just bring in more people.
Yeah,
you just got to bring in more people.
But then all of a sudden, you have to learn to vet them. You have to make sure they're capable of doing
it. Okay, well, that comes with the territory. Like, that's what I have to do. When I hire an employee, I got to be able to vet them and make sure that they're not going to run off my customers.
You're salty this morning.
I'm not salty. I'm right.
You're rarely right.
I'm always right, dear.
Maybe a little touch of leftist in there, too.
What? They have to hire somebody. It can't just be them. Because, like, Bill, all the respect in the world to Bill. Bill's been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. Bill is going to have core competencies.
Yeah.
And there are going to be some aspects of Bill's coaching that are going to push you personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. Past that, he cannot have the answers.
Right.
It's just not within him. He doesn't have, there's no human on earth has that. There's going to be some aspect of your business, and that's true of all of them.
Yeah.
That's true of Rick White. That's where a Cecil or any of the larger organizations are going to start bringing people in that now I've done everything I can for you. I'm going to move you to this other guy or gal, and they are going to be able to develop you in this other aspect. That's the only way to make it scalable. Yeah. It doesn't work any other way.
I see that.
The group thing is not a good way to go. You're right.
I just can't see a group functioning correctly. I think, like I said, I've seen
it's a low entry point. It's if you make the group cheap and you just need a taste of feedback because you haven't gotten any feedback up to this point. You have no concept of what that looks like. So, hey, we're going to bring you in at this much lower price point just so you can start seeing what the feedback model looks like and you can start making changes in your business. And then we'll see where this goes.
Yeah.
If you're like, I need something more specific. Okay, great. Now I can put you with somebody. In that aspect, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But to charge personalized coaching prices within a group model because you need to be able to expand this thing out and I need to have one meeting with five people this day and five people that day and five people that, and that's the only way because I need to be able to spread myself out, that doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You're done? We're not. Are you done?
Very good. Okay. Yeah.
I was just waiting on you to say something else.
Thank you for listening to the Changing the Industry podcast. If you enjoyed the show, do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player. And don't forget to set it to automatically download the latest episode. Our efforts with this podcast, the YouTube channel, and the Facebook group wouldn't be possible without the support of our awesome sponsors. So please take a moment, check them out by clicking on the links in the show notes.